Blog Talk Radio.
Jum Sufar Reef, along with Cottrell. We know because we study. We study the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. And what is to be expected in the daughter of Babylon is to be expected universally under the guise of the last kingdom, universal white race supremacy. You see, they have laws and warehouses of laws when it applies to us particularly. But when it applies to themselves, they rarely use them, such as in the case of the Supreme Court taking up the immunity case against Donald J. Trump. And if it had been you and I, come on now, stop it. This is a wicked country, people. Make no bones about it. And be assured of the fact it ain't going to get any better. You need to be in a safe place. That safe place is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. The only way you would know that because you study and you believe in yourself and you cling to those studies. That's what we're about to share with you tonight. I Elohim, Yah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. See, a lot of you people out there and students are out there looking for solutions to whatever ails you. That may very well be true, but the fact of the matter is this. There's only one answer to what all ails you. Not the Democratic Party, not the Republican Party, not the Independent Party, not the gay rights movement, not the Black Lives Matter movement, any other movement for that matter. The only movement that really matters is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. Bless and praise his holy name. That's what we're about to share with you tonight. Those are what our studies are focused on. And also, we like to study us in particular. And conjunction with that, different nations, strangers. To get a bead on what our strangers, different nations are doing. And focus on what we are not doing. It leaves us in a vulnerable position. You will find out in this next series of study in Shemuel that I will tackle for you tonight. Chapter 13, the beginning of the end for our first king, King Saul. Doing what you want to do, how you want to do it, and when you want to do it, does not suffice to the Elohim. It didn't suffice for King Saul, and it certainly, contemporary speaking, won't suffice for us. You got to learn to do what you told, when you told, and how you told. And when Yah says jump, you better be saying hi, hi. It's just that simple. You can't take it upon yourself to intrude on matters that does not concern you, that's above your pay grade, so to speak. It's true. Cartrell will be tackling our studies. And yes, Yahoo. That's the so-called book of Isaiah. Isaiah is not his name. Yeshi Yahoo is his name. And Cartrell will proceed in those studies. That's what we're here for. You see, Cartrell and I, and I hope you feel the very same way, and I suspect that you do, love the Most High with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and our brothers and sisters as ourselves. Meaning, we love ourselves. That's why we love our brothers and sisters. But if you can't love and respect yourself, you can't love and respect your brother and sister. You're willing to talk bad about it, call it out his name, shoot it up, run over it, whatever you want to do, because you don't see the preciousness. I'm just not precious in the eyes of Yah. Cartrell is simply not precious in the eyes of Yah. The people he chosen, not people, not person, people, plural. If you understood that Yah loves us in the plural sense of the word, sometime in a person, the plurality speaks louder than words when it comes to his people. And you will see them quite differently. You won't see them as jigaboos, niggas, and so on and so forth, whatever your name you want to call us. You'll see them as the precious people of Yah. That's why we love the Most High with all our heart, mind, soul. We cling to him, soul and strength. Because we know this universe is a hot mess. And we love our brothers and sisters. We turn the other cheek to them. As I said, certainly not for our enemies, but certainly for our brothers and sisters. But on the other hand, some of us much more rather kill our brothers and sisters, turn the other cheek for our enemies. That's due to lack of understanding, due to a lack of study. But we can remedy all that for you if you study right along with us. Praise Yah. Oh, where's Cartrell from? Oh, he from New York. No, he resides in prison camp, New York City. Just like Yom Su, in prison camp, Memphis, Tennessee. Okay. No, not on the Nile, Tennessee. See, because we got our mind. This ain't home for us, like some of you like to hold on and cling to. It's just a way station. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. All my soul and everything this within me. You should feel the very same way. So without further ado, Let me bring my friend and brother on from New York City. Brother Cottrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Bless y'all, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. All praise, honor, and glory to the Holy One, Yisrael, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Praise
Yahshua. All the family that's out there, shalom. May the Most High bless y'all. How y'all doing?
Doing okay, big bro. Shalom. How you doing? How's the wife and the family doing?
Everybody's well. Got the breath of life. Give thanks for that. Life, health, and strength.
Well, you know your wife, your sister. Your wife is my sister because she gave me that curry goat recipe. So you know I'm going to ask about her before I ask about you. Thank you, Brother Katja. Till I say ho, till I say shalom.
And you do the same to Nasanya for me.
Oh,
although she ain't give me no recipe that I could use, but it's okay.
But look here, tell the wife that recipe, I've used it over and over again. I'm going to continue using it. And Nasanya says, shalom, shalom, Brother Katja.
Yes, yes. Good to hear our voice. But you said a mouthful in your introduction, bro. You said a mouthful. Because really the focus is on the nations on the earth. And unfortunately for our people, we don't know our ethnicity, our nationality. And what we do here in the Real Talk for Real People show is take you through the history of our people, our nationality. And we're in the story of our first king, right?
Exactly.
King Saul. I wonder if Jewish people call King Saul a Jew. But we know he wasn't a Jew because he wasn't from the tribe of Judah.
Right.
And what's missing from them is the chronicles, the history of our kings. Where's the king of Israel today? Where are the priests? Where are the prophets?
Right.
We know they're perpetrating a fraud, but they don't never talk about their kings, their priests, or their prophets.
Exactly.
And they call everybody a Jew.
Contrary, that's
and
a good
King
good
Saul
question.
Was not a Jew. Huh?
That's a good question.
King
good
Saul
question.
Was not a Jew.
No, it was Benjamite. Good point, Contrary. Well made point. Well made. Thank you, Brother Katja. Well made point. I like that.
Praise Yah.
Praise Yah. Any more commentary, Katja?
That's about it. That's on my mind right now.
Thank you, Brother. That was a bam wham. That was. Let him answer that question, Katja. Let him answer that question. All right.
Oh yeah. A lot of questions they can't answer.
Right, that derivative of a Yehudite or Jew. Let him answer that question. Okay. I like that. Good question. Yeah. Brother Cottrell, fellow students, will you please turn with me to chapter 13, the beginning of the end of our king. The beginning of, and you'll see what I'm talking about when I said do what you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to do it. King Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, King Saul chose for himself 3,000 men of Israel, the whole nation, well, of the 10 tribes. 2,000 were with King Saul in Michmash in the mountains of Bethuel. And 1,000 were with Jonathan and Gibbet of, they tell you, of Benjamin. The rest of the people he sent away, every man to his tent. Yeah, go ahead, Cottrell.
Not to interrupt you, Yasu, but my book reads different from yours.
Read yours, Cottrell.
It says King Saul was 32 years old when he became king.
Okay.
And he was king of Israel 42 years. That's the first verse.
That's crazy.
Read your verse again, your first verse.
King Saul reigned 1 year. And when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, King Saul chose for himself 3,000 men of Israel. 2,000 were with him. Yeah, that man, ain't that something? Nasanya. Nasanya. what she doing. Hold on, Katria. Hey, Cottrell. Sorry, brother.
No problem.
Sorry. Let's proceed.
The second verse reads the same, but the first verse is totally different.
Okay. Thank you, brother. And Jonathan, thank you, Brother Cottrell. And Jonathan attacked the garrison of the Philistines that were in Gibeth. And the Philistines heard of it. Then King Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear." Now all Israel heard it and said that King Saul had attacked a garrison of the Philistines and that Israel had also become an abomination to the Philistines. And the people were called together to King Saul El Galaga. Then the Philistines gathered together to fight with Israel. 30,000 chariots these Philistines bought and 6,000 horsemen. And the people as the sands, which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and encamped at Mishmash to the east of Beth Aven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in danger, for the people were distressed because of this, because of these warriors coming against us. And as a result, then the people hid in caves and thickets and rocks and holes and in pits. And some of the Hebrews crossed over to the Jordan to the land of Gad, and they wanted to get away. As for King Saul, he was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. Then he waited 7 days according to the time set by Shemuel for him to come. But Shemuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him, from King Saul, as a result of this. So King Saul, being presumptuous, said, now he know he ain't had no kind of business, none whatsoever. Number one, he ain't no Levite. Number two, he was not authorized to do what he's about to do, and which is a burnt offering and peace offering here to me.
You missed number
King
one.
Saul. Yeah, number one.
No, you missed number one.
Okay, let's go back.
Number one, he's supposed to wait for the prophet Samuel.
Exactly.
He didn't do that. Number one.
He didn't do that.
First mistake.
Number one. First mistake. Number two, he asked for the burnt offerings and peace offerings to bring it to him. Like he a Levite. Like he's in charge of this. And he goes on. Here's what he did. He offered. He goes on to offer the burnt offering. And now it happened as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering that Shemuel came and King Saul would have to meet him that he might greet him. And Shemuel said, correcting him, "What have you done?" King Saul said, his excuse, "When I saw that the people were scattered from, they were moving away from me, and that you did not come," his excuse, within the days appointed, that the Philistines gathered together at Mishmash. Then I said, reasoning to himself, "The Philistines now come down on me at Gilgal, and I had not made supplication to Yah. Therefore, I felt compelled. I was made to do this. I didn't have no choice. It was about like force. I was compelled to do this as an excuse and offer the burnt offering." Come on, man. And Shemuel said to King Saul, and that's what we ought to tell each other when we don't do, "You have done foolishly." Come on, now. You knew better than that, so to speak. You can't sugarcoat it. You got to keep it real. He told the king of the nation, "You've acted foolishly. You have not kept the command, the codification. You know you can't do that. And your presumptuous excuses of Yah, your Elohim, which he commanded you. I didn't tell you to do this. Yah commanded you. You got to follow the code, my brother, king or no king. For now, Yah would have his. Now, here's what you done, cause and effect, my brother. For now, Yah would have established your kingdom over Israel forever, from the tribe of Benjamin. But now your kingdom shall not continue. Yah has sought for himself a man after his own heart. And Yah has commanded him to be commander over his people. He would look up a king, Dawood. Because you have not kept what Yah commanded you. You've not followed the code. Then Shemuel arose and went up from Gilgal to Jabesh of Benjamin. And King Saul numbered the people present with him, about 600 men. And then they didn't have no weapons. Imagine that. King Saul, Jonathan, his son, and the people present with them, remained in Geba of Benjamin. When the Philistines encamped at Michmash, then raiders came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned into the road of Ophrah to the land of Shual. Another company turned to the road to Beth Horon. And another company turned to the road of the border that overlooks the valley of Zum toward the wilderness. Now, there was no blacksmith because that's the way they crippled us into making weaponry. Now, there was no blacksmith to be found throughout the land of Israel. Why? For the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make swords and spears. But all the Israelites would go down to Philistines to sharpen each man. They would go down to sharpen their each man. That's how they got their farm instruments sharpened. They would go down to Philistine each man to sharpen each man's plowshare, his mattock, his axe, his farm equipment, his sickle, and the charge for sharpening was a pin, the price for the plowshares, the mattocks, the forks, and the axes, and to set the points of the goads. So it came about on the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people who was with King Saul and Jonathan. They didn't have any weaponry of that nature. But they were found with King Saul. Now, King Saul and Jonathan, his son, they had them. And the garrison of the Philistines went out to the pass of the mass battle. See, our folks didn't have all that. See, you don't need all that. You can even take a toothpick out there, you got Yah with you. Because our folks didn't have no kind of weaponry. And the Philistines had their reasoning, well, we don't want them to have blacksmiths because you know how they eat us. You know, they're going to make them some weaponry, and that's just that on that. So if they need their weapon, if they need their farm implements sharpened, they got to come down to us, and they got to pay for it. But Jonathan, King and King Saul, they had weaponry, spears, swords, so to speak. But as I said before, if you have the Elohim with you, and Cottrell said it all day. Cottrell tell you, I ain't got no guns. I don't even know how to shoot a gun. But he's still here. He's still protected. His family's still here. They're still protected. Because he's following the code, unlike King Saul did. See, people, I keep beating this into you. Let me not use that word. I keep drumming, Cottrell, and I keep drumming this into you. You have to remain within the confines of the code. You cannot do what you want to do, when you want to do it, and how you want to do it, and think that's going to suffice with the Elohim. It does not, it never has, and it never will. So if you take it upon yourself to take liberties with Yah's words, you better stop that. It ain't pretty, it ain't cute, and it ain't going to work for you. And that's that on it. And the evidence speaks for itself. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Brother Cottrell. You have the mic, my brother.
All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov.
Praise God.
For the lessons that we learn. And in this lesson, what I glean from it is that it's another case where fear can cause you to lose your blessing.
Exactly.
And King Saul was fearful. He acted out of fear.
Exactly.
And he lost his kingdom forever.
Exactly.
But the thing about King Saul, he could have just threw his hands up in the air and said, I quit. I ain't doing this. Took the crown and gave it to somebody else. He ain't do that, though.
Right.
He tried to finish the job, right? And what lack of courage that he had before is building up in him now, because he didn't run from the Philistines, did he? Even though his men didn't have any weapons. They stayed right there, 600 against 36,000.
Exactly.
Those are crazy odds. And we could say we wouldn't be fearful in that situation. But trust me, you're a human being.
Right.
And if you're afraid to die, you're a warrior. That fear is going to overwhelm you no matter who you are.
Exactly.
But you also see that King Saul stepped beyond his authority. Because he thought that he was king, he could do certain things that he was not allowed to do. So even kings got their limitations. And you can't overstep those bounds because it cost him dearly.
Exactly.
So a lesson learned, you see, you learn from the king. He's the example that you learn from. First of all, as long as you have Yah on your side, you should be fearless against all odds, number one. Number two is obedience to what he's telling you to do in that situation so you can survive and thrive. And unfortunately for our king, King Saul, he wasn't courageous enough in the beginning to stand fast, because it was really a test. Everybody running, everybody dipping, everybody dodging. He started out with 3,000 and wound up with 600. But it tells us a lot. It tells us a lot about fear.
Exactly.
So Yah said, be strong and good courage. Be strong and of good courage, Israel. Fear not. So no matter what the odds are, we should never fear. Praise God.
Praise God, Brother Contrail. Thank you, brother. Brother Contrail is about to proceed in the last segment of these studies. And Yeshayahu, chapter 14. Contrail, you have the mic, brother.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, for our great prophet. Prophet Yeshayahu. We lived in the time of King Ahaz. We know about him. We're going to get to him. But the vision that the prophet Yeshayahu has is for this time. And this amazing chapter here lets us know who rules universal white racist supremacy. Did you know that, Yamsu? We're going to find out who the ruler of universal white racist supremacy is, the fourth kingdom. We're going to find out who it is.
Exactly.
Do you know who it is?
The long hair.
Don't spell it. Huh?
Yeah. The long hairs. From the Greeks and the Romans.
Okay.
And the Caucasus Mountains. From the Greeks and the Romans and the Caucasus Mountains.
It's a little deeper than that.
Exactly.
It's higher powers that rule them.
Okay.
Yeshayahu, chapter 14, verse 1. For Yah will have compassion on Yaakov and will again choose Israel. He's going to choose us again, Yamsu. Have compassion on us. Ain't that what we need?
Exactly. That's what we need.
Despite of the jealousy of other nations. See, Yah's choosing us anyway again. That's what he said. And we'll set them in their own land. We're going back home, bro.
Exactly.
And sojourners will join them and will attach themselves to the house of Yaakov. We see that going on right now in captivity.
Exactly.
I seen this Japanese guy turn his hair into an afro.
Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that. Let the man have his afro.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And the people will take them. They're taking us and bring them to their place because we've been out of our place for a long time.
And the house of Yisrael will possess them in Yah's land as male and female slaves. I know they don't want to hear that.
Well, it's better
to be a slave to Yah than a slave to universal white racial supremacy, let me tell you.
Exactly.
They will take captives, those who were their captives, and rule over those who oppress them. I know Donald Trump don't want to hear that.
Well, he needs to.
When Yah has given you rest from your pain and turmoil and the hard service with which you were made to serve, ain't that true? You will take up this taunt against the king of Babylon. Oh, yeah, we're going to be taunting them. Y'all said we're going to taunt them? Oh, this is the taunt that we're going to throw at them. How is the oppressor's feast? How? The oppressor's feast. The insolent fury cease. Yah has broken the staff of the wicked. Oh, that's what we need to see, right? He broke Pharaoh's arm. Got to break the staff of the wicked, the scepter of rulers that struck the peoples in wrath with unceasing blows. Ain't that what they doing, Yasu?
Exactly.
We getting the boot down that rule the nations in anger, yeah, with the threat of nuclear destruction, with unrelenting persecution. The whole earth is at rest and quiet. Wait for that day. The breaking forth into singing, the cypress rejoice at you. Talking about trees rejoicing at Yah. The cedars of Lebanon saying, since you were laid low, no woodcutter comes up against us. You realize the trees and the forest got a beef with mankind?
Exactly.
They talking about global warming because they're cutting down forests. The trees are talking to Yah. Sheol beneath is stirred up. Oh, yeah, there's a hell. And what Curtis Mayfield said? If there's a hell below, we all go.
We all got to go.
Sheol beneath is stirred up. So we know where Sheol is at. To meet you when you come, it rouses the shades to greet you, all who are leaders of the earth. It raises from their thrones all who are kings of the nations. All of them will answer you and say, you too have become weak as we. You have become like us. Your pomp is brought down to Sheol. The sound of your harps, maggots are laid as a bed beneath you, and worms are your cover. Ooh-wee! How are you fallen from heaven? Lucifer, O day star of the morning. Is that what your book said?
Yeah, it said, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning.
So we ain't just talking about universal white racial supremacy. He's talking about Lucifer himself, right?
Mm-hmm.
I went to Mexico. I don't know how many times I tell you the story.
Right.
And I saw a documentary on witchcraft in America. It scared me so much, y'all, so I did not want to come back. I'm like, damn. If people only knew how devilish, how wicked America is from the top down. And now you see it here in Isaiah 14. Because who's ruling them? Lucifer. How are you cut down to the ground? You who laid the nations low. So what we were reading previously, he's going to Sheol and the kings that were in Sheol, they're going to see him. Like, you down here with us? Y'all said, maggots are laid beneath your bed. He's like a human being now. And worms are your cover. So he comes in a physical form too. How are you cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low? You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of Elohim. I will set my throne on him. So Lucifer's trying to dethrone the Most High.
Exactly.
I will sit on the Mount of Assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to Sheol, to the far reaches of the pit. You're going to the bottom of Sheol, my man. Those who see you will stare at you and ponder over you. I mean, people in Sheol are going to be alive, suffering, because they can see this. Is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world like a desert and overthrew its cities? That's universal white racial supremacy in conjunction with Lucifer, right?
Exactly.
That's what they do. They make the world like a desert. They overthrow cities. Who did not let his prisoners go home. That's what I'm dealing with. Prison outreach for the United Nations of Israel. Got people locked up for charges that they shouldn't be charged with.
Exactly.
We didn't have prisoners like they do, or prison system like they do here in America, in ancient Israel. Your crime was met with immediate judgment. You wasn't spending 25 years because you murdered somebody in some cell. Oh, no. You murdered somebody, life for life. You're going to get stoned if you're found guilty. Right?
Mm-hmm.
All the kings of the nation lie in glory, each in his own tomb. But you are cast out away from your grave like a low branch, clothed with the stain, with the slain, those pierced by the sword, who go down to the stones of the pit like a dead body trampled underfoot. You will not be joined with them in burial because you have destroyed your land. You have slain your people. May the offsprings of evildoers never be named. Prepare slaughter for your sons because of the guilt of their fathers. That guy on Fox News asked me this question. Do the children have to pay for the sins of the fathers and the grandfathers and the great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfathers? I tell them, yeah, if they continue the same evil enterprise, they have to pay the same price as their fathers. Not only that, but Most High is saying you got to pay for what your fathers did, just like we're doing, right? We pay for the sins of our fathers.
Exactly.
So Yah is telling these people, prepare slaughter for your sons because of what? The guilt of their fathers. They haven't paid for slaughtering the Native Americans here. They haven't paid for slavery. They haven't paid for destroying the Japanese in Nagasaki and Hiroshima. No, they get away with these things, or so they think. Lest they rise and possess the earth and fill the face of the world with cities. Yeah, they want to take Africa over right now and fill the cities with their people. That's what they've done to our land. You look at our land today, the land they call Israel, and all you see is a bunch of Europeans calling themselves Jews. Not Israelites, but Jews. I will rise up against them, declares Yahweh, and cut off from Babylon name and remnant, descendants and prosperity, declares Yah. I will make it a possession of the hedgehog and pools of water, and I will sweep it with the broom of destruction. Woo-wee! Declares Yah. I wonder what that room looks like. Yah of hosts has sworn, as I plan, so shall it be. And as I have purpose, so shall it stand. That I will break the Assyrian in my land, and on my mountains trample him underfoot, and his yoke shall depart from them, and his burden from off their shoulder. Didn't he do that? The Assyrians ain't around no more.
Exactly.
I've seen people call themselves Assyrians. Yah smashed them for what they did to our people. This is the purpose that is purpose concerning the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out over all the nations. For Yah of hosts has purpose. And who will annul it? His hand is stretched out. And who will turn it back? In the year of King Ahaz, I'll tell you about King Ahaz, died, came this oracle. Rejoice not, O Philistia, all of you, that the rod that struck you is broken. For from the serpent's rod will come forth an adder. And we see that going on in Palestine right now, right? And people are getting smashed.
Yep.
And its fruits will be a flying fiery serpent. That's what they're doing, flying over Gaza now, bombing with fire the people in Gaza. And the first one of the poor will graze, and the needy will lie down in safety. But I will kill your root with famine, and your remnant it will slay. Wail, O gate, cry out, O city. Melt in fear, O Philistia, all of you. For smoke comes out of the north. You know these northern people got the weapons to destroy them. And there's no stranger in his ranks. What will one answer the messenger of the nation? Yah is found in Zion, and in her the afflicted of his people find refuge. Have you found that refuge, Israel? You better find it quick. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah. As I said, your salvation, your security, your rock, your shield, your high tower, your buckler is in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. Not simply by saying it, but simply by understanding the dynamics of it. And that's why we do these studies, so you can understand the dynamics in relation with Yah, strangers, his people. And you will find out that some strangers will hold tight to us. Wherever they go, I'm going with them. I don't care if I got to sweep the floor. It's much better than being like the Philistines, the Babylonians, and the Assyrians. Because it's coming, Earth. It's coming much sooner than you think, and you better believe it. And the evidence speaks for itself. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Brother Contra, any closing remarks and comments in any regard? And a shalom's a good night.
Such powerful lessons. All praise to the Holy One of Israel. We talk about the Antichrist and all this kind of foolishness in the New Testament, but they never talk about Lucifer ruling over this fourth kingdom and the
exactly.
result that's in store for him that's already prophesied. And within that, we need to know what our place of refuge is, because we see with the fear that King Saul had, he lost his blessing. And if we allow
exactly.
fear to overwhelm us and block us from understanding what Yah purpose for us to do, we're going to lose our blessing too. So
exactly.
it's time to build up your courage, build up your trust, build up your faith, your hope, your strength in the Most High, because you don't want to be like King Saul. You're looking at what's going on around you, and you feel like you got to act because you think that the Most High is not with you, and you're afraid.
Exactly.
So he acted out of fear. My advice to us is don't act out of fear. Get wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, so we won't have any fear of anything. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah. Thank you, Brother Cartrell. Thank you, fellow students. Most importantly, praise you, Yah, and thank you very much. Bless your holy name, Yah. And Yah, will you please bless the fellow students that study along with us? As a matter of fact, bless those strangers to be going home with us. They the right kind. Know their place like we should know our place. It's simply dead on that. And realize the universal white race supremacy won't come to an end by virtue of you marching, protesting, voting. Not even by you getting born arrows and whatnot, BB guns, one-shot pistols. Universal white race supremacy and Lucifer that leads them will come by virtue of the structure of the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. Praise and bless his holy name, his holy name alone. Well, Katria, any shaloms or goodbyes or whatnot?
May the Most High watch between us while we're asking one from another. Love y'all. Shalom and good night.
As Big Bro said, we love y'all. Better be in that circle. Good night.
See you there. say you know me, let it be. Touch it, be it, hard and let it be. You know we coming good, I say you know we coming fit. Touch it, be it, hard and let it be. You know we flying straight because we never flying late. Touch it, be it, hard and let it be. We're living up again, we put the dumbbells in my shape. Touch it, be it, hard and let it be.